The Lord has something He wants to speak to us this morning. And I want to talk to you about the Lord's intercessor. The Lord's intercessor. I want you to go with me to Jeremiah chapter 27. Jeremiah chapter 27. I want to just begin by saying that God desires to have a praying people. That the Lord desires to have an interceding people. That the Lord desires to have a people that care about the things that are upon God's heart. That care about His kingdom that is upon this earth. That care about the things that God wants to do within the lives of people. God desires to have those kind of people. Brothers and sisters, what the body of Christ needs today more than anything else is a people that sincerely care about the things that are on God's heart. And they pray about the things that are upon God's heart. And this morning, the Lord wants us to understand that if we're going to be that people that truly care about the things that are upon His heart and really move His hand when we pray, that there is a necessary ingredient that needs to be found in our heart and our life. That if we're going to have the same care and care about those things that are upon the Lord's heart and mind and truly see God move heaven and earth when we pray, there's an ingredient that needs to be found in our life. And that's what the Lord wants to speak to us today. Now, I want you to look with me at Jeremiah chapter 27. And we're going to look at verse 18. Jeremiah 27 verse 18 says, "But if they be prophets, and if the word of the Lord be with them, let them now make intercession to the Lord of hosts." The Lord says, if the word of the Lord be with my people, let them now make intercession to the Lord of hosts. And this is what I want us to understand this morning. This is an intercessor. An intercessor is someone who walks with God, loves the Lord, and the word of God is in their heart. An intercessor is truly someone that can say in all sincerity, I love the Lord more than anything else in this earth. And because I love the Lord, I am diligent about seeking Him in His word. Brothers and sisters, an intercessor is one that God can speak to out of His word and share with them the things that are on His heart. And when His people pray for the things that are on the Lord's heart, the Lord hears and He answers their prayers. That is an intercessor. Now, I want you to read with me again Jeremiah 27:18. I want you to read it with me again. It says, "But if they be prophets, and if the word of the Lord be with them, let them now make intercession to the Lord of hosts." Brothers and sisters, what I want you to notice is that intercessory prayer has everything to do with the word of God. We're going to look at that, but I want you to understand that. I want you to see it in the word. Intercessory prayer has everything to do with the word of God. That you cannot be a person that is truly concerned about the things that are on God's heart and move His hand in prayer without having a deep walk with the Lord in His word. Now, I want to look at this morning in simplicity, because we want to keep this simple. When it comes to being a person of prayer and a person of intercession, it's not a complicated thing and it's not a mystical thing. You know, we've made this thing, intercessory prayer, we've made it almost ghostly, mystical. But it's not. It's simply just having God's heart, caring about the things that God cares about, and laying your life down in prayer, and God moving and answering those prayers. Now, let's just ask a question. So how does God's word and moving God's heart and hand in prayer work? Well, there's just very two simple things that I want to bring out. How does it work? Well, first of all, I want us to understand that walking with God in intimacy has everything to do with seeking the Lord in His word. Brothers and sisters, our relationship with God depends upon our relationship with the word of the Lord. You see, the ministry of the Holy Spirit is to take the word of God and to bring us into a living encounter with Jesus Christ. The ministry of the Holy Spirit is for Him to come. And when we begin to read our Bibles, Jesus begins to speak to us out of the word. He begins to reveal Himself. He begins to reveal His heart. He begins to reveal His ways. See, brothers and sisters, when we're spending time with the Lord in our Bibles, we're not just reading stories out of the Bible like David and Goliath. We're not just reading principles and things like this. It is Jesus speaking to the hearts of His people. And so we cannot have a relationship with the Lord without having a relationship with the Word of, with the Word of the Lord. Now I want you to go with me. I want you to put your marker, your Bible marker, in Jeremiah 27. And I want you to go with me to the book of Luke chapter 24. Go with me to the book of Luke chapter 24. I really want to bring this out. Look with me at verse 25. Then Jesus said unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered in these things and to enter into this glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And they drew nigh into the village whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to them. And their eyes were open, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. So briefly, let me just give you the background of this story. Jesus has been crucified. And now we find two men on the Emmaus Road leaving Jerusalem, and they're discouraged. And the reason why they're discouraged is because they believe that Jesus was the Messiah and that he was going to overthrow the Roman authority, the Roman power, and he was going to elevate Israel to be the kingdom over all the earth. That was their expectation of the Messiah. But then Jesus himself comes along and he begins to expound to them the things that had happened, his crucifixion, his resurrection. He begins to explain it to them out of the scriptures. And the Bible says that as he began to speak to them, that their hearts begin to burn. Now, why did their hearts begin to burn? Their hearts begin to burn because of the life that was in the Word. Their hearts begin to burn. What that burning was simply the life that Jesus was drawing out of the scriptures, and he was speaking to them. And then when they got to this place of residence, the Bible says that Jesus would have went further, but they constrained him to stay. And the Bible says that Jesus broke the bread and their eyes were opened and they knew him. And then the Bible says that Jesus vanished from their sight. Now, Jesus vanished from their sight because he was trying to teach his people a lesson. And this is what he was trying to teach them. Your relationship with me and the way that you have known me is about to change. I'm no longer going to walk with you in the flesh anymore. You're no longer going to see me with your natural eye anymore. We're no longer going to walk the dusty roads together and me speak to you in the flesh. That is about to change. What the Lord is saying to them is, if you're going to continue to know me, if you're going to continue to grow in me, if you're going to continue to go deeper in me, it's going to be through the scriptures. It's going to be through the Word of God. It's going to be through the scriptures that I'm going to open up the eyes of your heart, and you're going to go deeper into me and deeper into the intimate knowledge of me, and that I'm going to speak to your heart, and I'm going to lead you, I'm going to guide you, I'm going to strengthen you, I'm going to comfort you. That's what the Lord is saying here now. He is saying that if you're going to continue to grow in me and walk with me, it will be through the scriptures, the Word of God. That's what the Lord is saying. So again, what I'm trying to say is that it's impossible to have a deep walk, an intimate walk with the Lord, without having a deep, intimate walk with God in His Word. Now, brothers and sisters, you that are here this morning and you're born again and you're saved and you're washed in the blood, I want to ask you a very heart-searching question, and that is simply this. Do you have a deep, intimate walk with the Lord? Well, in order to answer that question, we have to ask a question, and it's simply this. Well, do you have a deep relationship in God's Word? There's many people, you ask them, do you have a deep, intimate relationship with God? And they will say yes. But the proof is in that we spend quality time with God in His Word, seeking His heart. And I'm not talking about when we just come to church on Sunday. I'm talking about daily. We have a daily devotional life with God. When there's a hunger in our heart that brings us into that secret place with that says, God, I want to know your heart. I know you want to know your Word. That is the people that truly possess that deep intimacy with God. There are many people, you ask them, do you have an intimate walk with God? And they would say yes. But yet they spend so much time in front of the television, watching television and doing other things, and spend hardly any time in the Word of God. There is absolutely no intimacy in that. None. So the question comes before our heart. Do you really possess an intimate walk with God? Well, you can answer that with a question. Do I spend quality time with God in His Word? Seeking His heart. Now, how does that tie in with intercessory prayer? Praying about the things that are on God's heart. Because when you're walking with God in His Word, when you begin to walk with God and really seek God in His Word, He's going to begin to speak to you. He's going to begin to reveal His heart to you. He's going to begin to open up the eyes of your heart and cause you to see Him in His Word. And He's going to begin to share with you the things that are upon His heart. And when we truly begin to love God and walk with God and seek God in His Word and He shows us these things, we begin to care about the things that God cares about. We sincerely begin to care about the lost. We sincerely begin to care about those who are being bound and tormented by the devil. We sincerely become concerned about those who are broken in heart because we are seeking God's heart. You know, the Bible says, out of the abundance of the mouth, the heart speaks. This is the Word of God, so this is the very essence of His heart. And when you seek Him in His Word, you begin to take on His heart. And when we pray, the things that are on God's heart, God hears and God answers prayer. Now, secondly, there's another way I want to bring this out. We're asking the question, how does God's Word and moving God's heart and hand in prayer work? Secondly, there are times that the Lord desires to do something specific. That the Lord's heart is burdened to do something, and now is the time that He wants to do it. And what the Lord will do is when there's something specific on His heart that He wants to do, He will find a people who walk close to His heart and His Word. And He will begin to lead them through the Scriptures, what is on His heart that He wants to do. The Lord has His ways of breathing life into the Scriptures and showing His people, this is what I want to do now at this time. And that's what I call coming under the burden of the Word of the Lord. Because when God begins to walk you through the Scriptures and He begins to breathe life in it and He begins to make it so real that this is what I want to do, you come under the burden of the Word of the Lord. In other words, it begins to grip your heart and you begin to lay your life down in prayer until you see God start performing the things that are on His heart. Now, I want to show you this in the Scriptures. I want to show you an example of this. And I've used this last week, but it's just on my heart, so please bear with me. Because this is just so alive on my heart. I want you to go with me to the book of Daniel, chapter 9. I want to show you an example of this. The book of Daniel, chapter 9. Look with me at verse 2 through 4. It says, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by books. That is so important that we see that. Daniel understood by books. He's talking about the Scriptures, the writings of Jeremiah. I, Daniel, understood by books the number of the years whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. And I set my face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplication with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. And I prayed unto the Lord my God. Let's just stop there. So it says that Daniel understood by the books the number of years where the Lord wanted to set His people free. And what I want us to see here is it was by the Scriptures. It was through the Scriptures. Daniel had a walk with God in His Word. And when God was about to do something, when God wanted to do something, God began to lead Jeremiah in the Scriptures. He began to breathe so much life into the prophecies of Jeremiah in the Scriptures that it began to burden Daniel's heart. That word came so alive in Daniel's heart that he began to pray the thing that was upon God's heart. And he began to pray in such a way that the hand of God began to move kingdoms and began to move kings because that was God's heart. Brothers and sisters, what I'm saying is when God has something specific He wants to do, He will find a people who walk close to His heart in the Word of God, and He will begin to lead them and reveal the things that are upon His heart. He will breathe such life and such power, such of His presence into that Word, and say, this is on my heart, this is what I want to do. And those that really love the Lord, they'll find the life that is in that Word, and it will bring them under that burden to pray, and they'll lay down their life, and they'll pray, and they'll see God move. See the Lord move. Let me show it to you in another light. I want to show you another light. Go with me to 1 Samuel chapter 17. 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 28 and 29. We know the story. Goliath is on a hillside blaspheming the Lord and speaking out, and defaming the armies of Israel. And David comes and he hears this giant making this boast. Verse 28, 1 Samuel 17, 28. It says, and Eliab, David's eldest brother spoke unto him, unto the men. And Eliab's anger was kindled against David, and he said, "Why comest thou down hither? And with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know thy pride and thy naughtiness of thine heart, for thou art come down that thou might see the battle." And verse 29 is what I really want to focus on. David said, "What have I done? Is there not a cause?" So David sees this giant roaring, blaspheming the name of the Lord. And he says, "Is there not a cause?" Now, what I want you to see in this scripture is that word cause, the Hebrew word, literally means word. That's what it means. It means word. David isn't saying, "Is there not a reason to engage an enemy?" He's saying, "Is there not a word from the Lord? Is there not a word from God?" This word cause in the Hebrew is debar. And any time you see the word of the Lord come to a prophet, it uses the same word debar. The debar, the word of the Lord came to the prophet. Ezekiel 1:3 says the word, the debar of the Lord came expressly unto Ezekiel. Hosea 1:2 says the word, the debar of the Lord that came to Hosea. Joel 1:1, the word, the debar of the Lord that came to Joel. So here's my point. When David looks at this enemy blaspheming the Lord and he says, "Is there not a cause?" He's not really saying, "Is there not a reason to go fight this enemy?" What he's saying, "Is there not a word from God that will liberate this people? Is there not anyone in this camp that can hear the living word of God speak to their heart? Is there not anyone in this camp that God can breathe a living word into their heart and inspire their faith to believe God for the impossible and wrought victory on the battlefield? Is there no one here?" Brothers and sisters, what I want us to understand, the weapon that slayed the giant was a living word in the heart of this little boy. He walked with God. He walked with God in the Word of God. He wrote, "Blessed is the man whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate day and night." He was a man who walked with God in his Word. And so there was a word in his heart. And if you read the rest of the story, you know what that word is. "David, I want to be glorified in all the earth in this." And David was saying, "Is there no one here that walks with God, walks with God in his Word? That the living word of God is in their heart, inspiring their faith to let God move in this situation." Brothers and sisters, what I'm saying is, when God wants to tear down strongholds, when God wants to bring down the giants, when God wants to perform a miracle that is absolutely impossible for human strength to accomplish, He will find someone that walks with Him in His Word. And He will speak to their heart. And there will come a faith in their heart to believe God for the victory. And they will go to the battlefield in prayer. And they will pray according to God's heart and mind. And God will move according to the thoughts and intents of His heart. Intercession has everything to do with the Word of God. Being a man, a woman who walks with God in His Word. That's who the Lord burdens. That's who the Lord speaks to. But I want to show you again the tragedy of the hour. It's so alive on my heart. We talked about it last week, but I have to, from the Lord, I have to talk about it again. The tragedy of the hour. Go with me to the book of Amos chapter 6. You can go back to Daniel. I had you put your marker there. And then a few books after that, you find the book of Amos chapter 6. We're going to read the first part of verse 1 and then go to verse 4. Verse 1 says, "Woe to them." Amos 6 verse 1. "Woe to them that are at ease in Zion," look at verse 4, "that lie upon beds of ivory and stretch themselves upon their couches and eat the lambs out of the flock and the calves out of the midst of the stall, that chant to the sound of the viol and invent to themselves instruments of music like David, that drink wine and bows and anoint themselves with chief ointments." Now listen to this, "but they are not grieved for the affliction of Joseph." In other words, this is what is happening. The Lord is reproving His people because they're no longer burdened with the things that are on His heart. They're no longer burdened by the things that are burdening God's heart. And the reason why they're no longer burdened by these things is because they've gotten sucked into the spirit of the age. That spirit, you know what the spirit of the age is? It's the spirit of comfort and pleasure. You read Amos 6. They became a people who were so focused now on their own comfort and their own pleasure. keeping the flesh happy. And they become so focused on that, that they lost the burden of God's heart. And brothers and sisters, I have to be honest with you. This is where the American church is today. So much of the American church has been sucked under by the spirit of this age. We know what the spirit of this age in our nation is in America. It's idolatry itself. And I say that in love, but I'm saying it in truth. We are so driven to self, keeping self happy, keeping the flesh happy, pleasure and comfort. And because of it, so much of God's people and His church have lost the burden of God's heart. Listen, we have such a shallow walk in the Word of God because we have become so focused on self, keeping self happy. And we've lost the burden of God's heart. But God has spoken to me that He has a Daniel company. A people who refuse to let that culture corrupt them. If you remember in the book of Daniel, the Lord wanted to judge His people, so He raised up the Babylonians. And His people, Israel, went into Babylonian captivity. And if you'll remember, that Babylonian culture at the very beginning tried to corrupt Daniel. The devil, I want you to hear this, it was the devil that offered Daniel the best of the king's table, the best of the king's meat, the best of the king's wine, because he was trying to get Daniel to turn his eyes from being faithful to the Lord and serving the Lord and to begin to live a life looking and pleasing his flesh. But Daniel from the beginning refused that culture. He refused to let that culture of pleasure and self-seeking corrupt him. There was something in his heart that says, no, I'm called to walk with God. I'm called to glorify God. Even in this captivity, I am called to be used to bring honor and glory to God. And he refused to let that culture corrupt him. Pastor Tim, are you saying we shouldn't enjoy things in life? Yes, we can and should enjoy things in life. But when it begins to steal your affections and it has your affection more than God has our affections, it is idolatry. And God is looking for a people that won't be sucked in by that culture out there of pleasure and self-seeking and comfort, but says, God, I'm going to walk with God in His Word. And then years later, when God wanted to do a miracle, when God wanted to bring His people out of captivity, He found a man, He found Daniel, and He began to breathe life into His Word and began to lead Daniel in the Scriptures. And Daniel began to care about the thing that was on God's heart, and he began to pray, and God moved kingdoms to fulfill what was on his heart. I want to say it again in love, but I just feel the Lord in my heart. How much time do we spend in front of television and seeking pleasure and entertainment? And how much time do we give with walking with God in His Word? Because them are the intercessors that move His hand. And I pray daily, God, I need Your grace. I do not want to be corrupted by that culture. I do not want to be a person who lives for self. I want to live for the honor and the glory of God. And more than anything, I want to have a secret closet. I want to have a prayer life. I want to have a place where I spend daily time with God seeking His heart. And then when God, You have something on your heart you want to do, I want to be a man that You can walk with me through the Scriptures and show me, and I can pray and I can move kingdoms with my prayers. Amen. If I get a little passionate, just bear with me because this is my heart. And I pray it's your heart. I know there are people in here that walk with God in His Word. But you need to guard that with all your heart because the enemy wants to corrupt it. He wants to corrupt it with that culture out there, that self-seeking, pleasure, comfort, loving culture out there. Protect it with all of your heart because them are the people that move God's hand in prayer. Now I want to show you something. I want to end with this. We need to understand that more than ever, the Lord needs intercessors. This very moment we live in, God is earnestly looking for intercessors. Those people that love Him and love His Word, and He can share the burdens of His heart with them and the things that He wants to do. I want you to go with me back to Jeremiah 27. I want to look at one very important word in this scripture. One very important word in this scripture. Verse 18. But if they be prophets, and if the word of the Lord be with them, let them now. let them now make intercession to the Lord of hosts. When you really read this scripture and really look at it, you can sense the urgency of God's heart. God is saying, there are things on my heart that I want to do now. And I need people that know my heart, know my burden, and can pray. Well, we have to understand, this isn't just for Jeremiah's generation. This is for our generation. God has something He wants to do now. See, what the Lord is speaking to us this morning is simply, there are things that are weighing on my heart now. There are things that I want to do now. There are powerful things. There are impossible things. And right now I need a people fully given to me, fully given to my word, that have refused to let that culture corrupt them, that I can breathe life into my word and show them the things that are on my heart, the things that I want to do now. There are so many things on God's heart to do now. And the Lord made this so real to me. He said, Tim, there are so many victories that are just waiting to be won in prayer. If my people have my heart. Because they walk with me in my word. So I just want to ask a question. And every time I ask these questions, it comes out of love. But I just have to obey the Lord. If the Lord earnestly wants to answer prayer now, why are so many of His people prayerless? If the Lord's heart is so burdened now to do something in people's lives, why are so many of His people burdenless? If God desires that His house be a house of prayer that He can touch all nations, why do so many of the Lord's people not go to prayer meetings? The answer is because we do not share the Lord's burden. And we do not share the Lord's burden because we really have no life in His Word. But I do want to bring it back to the hope. There is a Daniel Company. I believe in every church. There's a Daniel Company in this church. Wherever you come from, there's a Daniel Company in your church. And you could very well be part of that company. Where you truly love the Lord. And the evidence that you really love the Lord is you spend time with Him in His Word. Seeking His heart. That's the people God moves kingdoms through. Stand with me this morning.